You're listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network, now the largest new media platform on the web and your number one source for after-show entertainment. The AfterBuzz Studios in Los Angeles, California, and streaming live on Ustream. This is AfterBuzz TV for American Horror Story. We'll break down tonight's episode and get you all the latest American Horror Story news and gossip. If you'd like to buzz in on tonight's show, you can buzz us at 424-256-1729. That's 424-256-1729. And now, picking up where the show leaves off, and the buzz continues, it's AfterBuzz TV for American Horror.
Get your smile ready.
I know, perk right up. Hello, everybody, and welcome to AfterBuzz TV for American Horror Story. Season 1, Episode 7, Open House, aired last night, Wednesday, November 16th.
Oh, come in.
Who's at the door?
It's that creepy doorbell that they have at the murder house.
It is. As always, I'm your host, Billy Nellis, joined by the lovely David Scifoletti.
What up?
Not that lovely.
Rude. You always preface his name with like a nice adjective.
I don't know why.
Because I'm amazing.
He's my favorite.
That's debatable.
He's with me week to week, so he gets the adjective. He's earned it.
Okay, fine. What am I at? Mediocre? Slowly working my way up the ladder.
Darling Deidre Bahar.
Thank you. Alliteration, too. Well. Extra bonus points.
All right. So we're about halfway through the season, and I am going to be blunt and say that I think Open House was a bit of a filler.
Yes.
Episode. Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
Not as scary this week.
Very interesting. Like, we learned a lot of stuff in this episode, but it was more information than anything.
There was a lot of information given. There really weren't very many scares.
Were there any?
It was more just a... I mean, it was just that creepy feeling that you get on the show.
But and no, like on the edge of your seat moments,
Right, definitely. So, as we said, we learned a lot. We learned more about Larry's backstory and how tangled it is with Constance, something that we didn't know up until now.
I'm kind of shocked about the whole, like, love story between him and Constance and, like, what actually happened within the fire, because when he first told his story to Ben and we, like, learned about it, it seemed... so real.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I was a little... Wait, were you guys shocked? I had no idea that Larry and Constance had any sort of
shocked
involvement.
Completely.
I did not either. I was not ready for... Didn't expect that either.
And she's such a badass. She doesn't care about him.
No. Could care
I
less.
Love that. He's like, I love you.
I know.
And Constance is like, ugh, shut up. And I just bleed for her.
I know. And we also, this week, learned more about what's growing inside of Vivian. They were delivered a shock, I guess, in knowing the fact that it's not just one
demon baby.
Storm.
It's two demon babies.
That's coming. Whether that's accurate or not, I think is to be seen, because who knows what's really going on in this womb of hers.
Right.
And what these doctors are seeing. There was a little bit weird stuff, the way the doctor was being played, which I'll get into when we get to it, sort of, that I read into it.
Yeah, sketchy doctor.
Yeah, there was some weird things about that.
I didn't see anything weird with the doctor.
Well, that was the first thing I wanted, so we'll just jump into it, because that was the first topic I wanted to speak about.
Yeah.
So this week, we do see the Vivian and Ben, they've got their results from the amniocentesis back, and it has revealed that...
Wait, by the way, nice job throwing out amniocentesis.
Big word.
Yeah, alert. Nice job there. Okay, keep going.
I used it last week. He called me out on it, too, last week for knowing.
Oh, my God.
Do you have... past experience working with amniocentesis?
Well, I don't, but I took anatomy in high school, and I just
anatomy
remember.
In high school.
I took honors human anatomy.
Oh,
wait,
honors.
Did you dissect cadavers?
No,
because Westlake had that class.
No, we dissected. We dissected cats.
Close enough, right?
This is totally American Horror Story. My cat had babies inside of it. I had to pull out
when it was dead.
Yeah. It died with kittens in it, and I had to pull kittens out of the tummy.
We need to get Ryan Murphy on the line.
I was like Dr. Montgomery.
And then you sewed them all together and made a giant kitty.
No, we put them in jars. And creepily enough, I have a picture. I'll have to find it and bring it in. I have a picture.
You don't have it stored in your attic?
No. We don't get to keep the kittens. The teacher wouldn't let us take them home. But I have one. Me and my lab partner, April, we named the kittens that we,
You named your dead kitty fetuses.
Yeah, because they stayed with us all year. Imagine how stinky that cat was that we kept cutting into because they kept it in like a freezer. This is such a long story. That's totally needless.
But you just proved yourself as the host of American Store Story.
That is so gross. I'm sorry.
Long story short, that's how I know what an amniocentesis is.
Awesome. Thanks for the backstory. Continue.
So they learn through the amniocentesis that they are having twins, that Vivian is going to be delivering not one, but two.
But I hope they're conjoined.
Something.
I wouldn't be surprised.
Some tangled mess growing up in that womb. But what I was talking about a couple minutes ago when I said that there was some sketchiness going on with the doctor, when Vivian went back and was sort of demanding more testing, it was weird to me how the doctor did not want to test anymore.
Right.
Can't it be a little harmful for a woman in her mature age, having a child, especially twins, to be doing all this testing? Couldn't it be harmful to the fetus eye?
The fetus eye. My problem with it was the doctor's approach. You know, if a doctor is going to advise you not to do something, they just need to come from like a clear objective, like, okay, you're not going to do that. Here's why you're not going to do it. X, Y, and Z health reason is going to happen.
Right, but none of that was brought
up. She seemed like she was coming from an emotional place.
She seemed like she was trying to hide something.
Yes.
Like there was something else that was revealed in that test that she didn't want to have to talk about.
Right, she didn't want to divulge the results or whatever. Right. So yeah, I got the same creepy vibe from the doctor.
I got definitely like that there was just something unanswered, something hidden that was revealed and she didn't want to have to reveal it.
Right. I agree with that.
She was trying to avoid further testing to get that out of the way.
Right.
I guess I'm just used to creepy doctors.
Well, I feel sorry for you.
I guess I'm just used to the doctors being weirdos.
Do you need
weirdos.
A recommendation of some
I might.
Sort?
Okay. I mean,
I do feel bad for you about that. I also I want to talk about the scene with Vivian and her alone time.
Oh, very, very NC-17.
And her...
Well...
it was her
fantasizing and where the fantasy sort of went
we don't know
as it progressed but it
well
got...
what song did she play? She played a song before she decided to take her sexy nap time in her black lingerie.
It was like smooth R&B, wasn't it? Wasn't it?
Excuse me.
It was either smooth R&B or like smooth jazz. It wasn't like Lady Gaga by
cool
any means.
96.7.
No, she wasn't. Yeah. She wasn't getting off to the gog.
But I thought it was interesting how usually don't people just pick one person to fantasize about? She fantasized about like four people.
Right, and it progressed. I mean, I expected it to be the security guard, and then I expected it to sort of go into Ben. But then as her what she was doing got further in and more involved and more intense, it turned into
rubber suit.
The rubber man.
Well, how weird would it be if her dreams are sort of showing her who, like, the father of her children? Like, let's say maybe she has two separate pregnancies. Like, maybe one's the rubber man's, one is Ben's.
Oh, ick. There's two separate fetus growing at the same time. Is that a possibility?
It is actually a possibility.
You can have two kids growing inside of you from two different fathers.
Yes, it is a possibility.
Would you have to have had
Look it up right now.
Yeah, did you learn this in your period class?
No.
Your period class?
Oh, my God.
We're not going to talk about it.
I don't want to.
Yeah.
Would you have had to... I didn't learn about this in my honors human anatomy, so maybe you know more than I. Would you have had to have had intercourse really close together? I mean,
no,
I
not
imagine...
necessarily.
So you could do it months apart?
Not you can actually do it months apart, and they would have separate due dates, but you can actually be... have two separate embryos that get fertilized.
I'm sorry.
Wow.
Then why don't more pregnant women have twins? Or have...
Well, they wouldn't be twins.
What?
It wouldn't be a twin, though. It's separate embryo.
Whatever. She'd have two babies at one time.
It's fraternal twins.
But are they even twins? Because they wouldn't share DNA if they're from the same
two different fathers.
They would be half-brothers.
Right.
So it would be like separate... That's so much stress right my head around. Sorry that we're throwing all this out.
Well, that's a really interesting theory, because what movie? Well, I think I was watching Juno, where someone was like, what's the worst that could happen? I'm already pregnant. Apparently, worse can happen. You can get pregnant again at the same time.
Yeah. I was always under the impression that that part shut off as the baby was growing
and
over
developing.
It.
Yeah. Jesse, can you look that up?
He is.
Thank
right,
you.
So basically,
I want to know
this
the
is
odds.
A one in a million, literally
Thank
a one
you,
in
one
a million,
million
chance.
Okay.
But According to doctors, if a woman has more than one sexual partner while she's ovulating, there's a minuscule chance that different sperm cells can fertilize two separate eggs. Seeing that the sperm cells take a while to travel, and to the eggs take a while to travel there, they can overlap.
Oh, yeah.
Told you.
So you could have...
But
you could
this is like a freak case.
It is a freak case,
really,
but you would have
to be... This is such a freak case that...
Exactly. It would have to happen while you were ovulating, clearly, by what we found out. So she would have to have had sex very close together within days.
Well, she did. Ben, she had sex with Ben and Rubber Man on the same day.
Right.
Exactly.
So it stands to reason that there could have been two separate...
Fathers.
Spermies.
And one's a demon baby. And one's
normal.
A mongoloid.
What's a mongoloid?
Constance calls Addie.
Oh, a mongoloid.
A mongoloid.
If we're right about that and that
you
happens,
mean, I mean, if I'm
I will
right,
have an aneurysm.
Yes, if David is
if
right.
If I am right.
Whatever.
If David is right, I'm going to set up like confetti cannons.
And, we'll
and when it's
explode.
Revealed, like this entire place is going to explode and rain confetti on David because that will be so amazing.
That's the ultimate prediction.
Right. Right.
Right.
Yes.
Definitely.
Okay.
All right.
Love
genius.
It.
Well, moving on from this Vivian and Ben story, I want to talk a little bit about Violet and Tate, because through Violet and Tate we saw
poor Violet. She's losing her losing
Violet
herself.
Violet is really kind of losing her mind. Feeling like she's losing her mind.
Yeah, she does feel like she's losing her mind,
she
but
thinks
I feel
she's
like
going insane. But
she's
something's happening to her.
Figuring it out. Well, because she likes living in the house,
yes.
And she is falling in love
and
with
Tate, right.
Even though she knows now that he's dead, which is why she had that whole conversation with her mother about how she knew when she was in love with her father and how she could tell. And
when Tate explained to her that all you have to do is say go away or stop, he made a comment, and I can't remember it. I wish I would have written it down. But he said something like, now you can see them. You can see ghosts because you're blank.
I wrote it down.
He said,
let me see if I can find it.
It was like, you're progressing or you're
transitioning.
They are appearing to you because you've evolved.
Evolved.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Yes. So that means that there's some sort of a process that she is now a part of.
Yes.
Involuntarily, obviously. She's alive. She's a 15-year-old girl. She's not dead.
Right.
Well, Constance can see everyone
Constance
as well.
Constance is a part of this as well.
Right.
And Addie was also. And what's interesting is we go back a couple of weeks ago with that conversation between Constance and Violet about how Tate sees the same thing in all of them. They all have the same sort of strength.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And it's interesting that they all also are able to now see all of these.
I think it has to do with the fact that she now knows that Tate is dead, and she's accepted the fact that she can see a dead person.
Now
so they're now
to all of
they're
them.
Revealing themselves to her.
That makes sense.
Can we talk about Bo?
Yeah.
Well, Bo's...
I was going to wait a sec for when we got into Constance, but go ahead.
No, Bo is the most terrifying thing I've ever seen
oh
in my
God,
whole
have
life.
Have you ever seen that movie? From
Mask.
With Cher?
Mask with Cher.
It looks
and
exactly
Eric
like him.
I was like, oh, Eric Stoltz is in those.
Yeah, that's exactly what I thought
no.
as well.
No, is this an 80s film?
Yeah.
It's an 80s movie about this mom who gives birth to sort of a
basically the same thing.
Like, he looks like that. He's just sort of this normal guy, and she raises him, and it's all about how he sort of as a teenager with that face.
So is Bo the love child between Jessica Lange, Constance,
and Larry?
I don't know. I don't think so, because Constance didn't meet, and I guess we'll just transition into talking about Larry and Constance.
Sorry.
No, that's fine. There was very little to talk about Violet and Tate anyway, so I just wanted to get what we already said out of the way.
She is depressed, though.
Right.
She's going to, I think, combust at some point.
I don't know if she's depressed.
I think she's just
confused.
Uncomfortable and confused about what's going on. But I do think that there's a part of her that she did love the house, but I don't think she knew why. And I think now she sort of is understanding why she had this connection.
Well, from the get-go, she was the one that was like,
we'll take it.
We'll take it.
Yeah. She knew that.
And she thought it was awesome
there.
That someone was killed there.
Yeah.
Like, I think she secretly gets off on
that
whole dark
aspect.
A
very strange child.
Definitely.
Well, yeah.
Much like, what's her face?
Jessica Lange?
No.
Constance?
Addie?
No. Winona Ryder in Beetlejuice.
Oh.
She was the same way.
Yeah.
When they looked at that house, she had the same reaction after she found out that the previous owners had died. She was like, awesome.
Yeah, let's do this.
Yeah. All right, well, let's jump into Larry and Constance since we got there. So this week we saw a flashback to 1994 when Larry was living in the
but
house.
Again, didn't Tate and Constance live in the house in 1994?
Well, Tate did. Whether Constance did or not, wasn't clear, but Tate definitely did. Tate was there, but we don't know that Constance was.
We don't know who Tate's father is, correct?
I imagine it's the man who she killed. I imagine he's the father of all of
them. Oh, okay, yeah, yeah. The one who cheated with Moira.
Yeah.
Got it.
But it stands to reason that what happened with Tate could have happened after what we saw this week. And we did see that Larry and Constance were having this affair, and she wanted to come back into the house after she had lived there. And Larry throws his wife out, tells her to leave with the kids, mm-hmm. so Constance could come back. So it stands to reason that what happened with Tate happened after Larry kicked his wife out, so Constance and her family could come back into the house, okay. thereby ensuring that when they died, they could die on property and become ghosts.
Right.
Okay. But do you think that what happened in the beginning of the episode
with Beau happened before
or after what happened with his wife?
That I don't
because
know
I would
why
I,
he would be there.
Exactly. What I think is that it would have had to have happened before,
because she didn't ever take him out of the,
and he didn't have burn marks on his face.
So who is he? Constance went up to visit him and like was embracing him as though it was her child. My sweet, handsome boy.
Beau is her kid.
It is her kid.
Her number three of four children that have been revealed.
Yeah.
Okay, she said she has four kids.
Yes.
Addie, Tate, Beau.
And we still haven't met the fourth.
Oh my God, I can't wait.
I know.
Do you think it's somebody living in the house also?
It would have to be.
Yeah.
Do you think that's the demon baby that was in the basement that attacked the coat girl?
No.
Okay.
Because that we know now is Nora and Charles Montgomery's Frankenstein baby.
Thaddeus, got it.
Yes.
Right. So,
Thaddeus.
Such a regal name for such a terrifying creature.
I love it.
But isn't there, from like a screenwriter's standpoint, aren't there always reasons behind why they pick certain names?
Yes, there's
usually
always names.
Yes, I mean, Tate is there to reference the LaBlanca Tate murders. I mean, they're Sharon Tate.
What's Violet?
I don't know.
You have to look into the meanings of names and things like that.
Right.
When trying to figure stuff like that out.
I mean, usually they'll try to sort of put a name. I mean, some of them just, I mean, when it's a show that's this heavily mythologized, I think names mean things. When it's like something like Friends, the names don't mean anything.
Of course.
Names.
Right.
But when it's shows like this and shows like Lost, I do think the names mean something to the character. And they represent that person.
Well, that's why I'm so peculiar.
You are peculiar.
Are you perplexed?
I'm so perplexed, and I think Violet is peculiar because it's like a pretty bright colored flower, and she's so dark. Yeah, she should be a thorn.
Then her name should
thorn.
Be Rose.
Not even. That's a
just
happy
thorn.
Flower. Just yes, Thorn Hardman. Yeah, or Fern or something like that. Continue.
All right, but so we did see that also. The story that Larry had fed Ben in the beginning about the house made him light his family on fire, now we know is not true.
Right.
And in fact, his family died because the wife was so distraught over being thrown out for Constance, lit them on fire, killed her kids and killed herself.
Well, it also seems like what the house never affected Larry himself. It seemed to have like affected his wife in the way that she, in her behavior and their relationship, but it didn't seem to have affected Larry at all. He seemed completely normal.
Oh.
Unlike Ben, who is like coming undone at the seams.
I don't know that Larry,
I mean, not that he's normal, but you know.
Right, that he
in comparison.
Sure. I do, but I think that also, I mean, I think that I hope that we'll see more to see that it had affected him, because as of now, this week just totally undid everything we thought about him. So I think we have more to learn. And I have a feeling, I mean, there's no way that anyone enters this house unscathed.
Right.
So I think that either, if it hadn't affected him yet, it will we'll see it have had some point down the road once Constance moved in.
Right. Because you don't just walk in that house and leave. Normal. Yeah.
Well, he did, and he was in the, Ben revealed that he was in a burn unit for 2 years and then was in a mental ward.
Right. Yeah. So something happened.
Something definitely happened.
Something serious happened.
Right. And I do have some, I believe it, I have it in here. I have some scoop from Ryan Murphy about Larry.
Yay.
Oh.
So we'll get to that when we get to news and gossip. So this week we also, I want to talk about Moira a little. We saw that they finally have this buyer for the house.
Who was
who's
creepy, stereotypical creepy, sleazy douchebag guy.
Yeah, and he comes in and he wants to buy the house. And
what?
Moira,
he was
a full stereotype. He was Armenian and he lived in Beverly Hills.
Yeah.
I'm not going to judge his ethnicity by any
measure. No, I'm not judging, I'm
no,
not judging his ethnicity either, exist. But I'm just saying that, like, they
played upon something,
everything
yes.
about...
Yeah. That one line where women have three purposes in life, mm-hmm.
yeah.
that was disgusting.
Yes.
Okay, continue.
Well, it was there so that we wouldn't have cared what happened to him whatsoever.
Exactly. We weren't supposed to like the character.
We needed to sort of wish that what happened.
Yes.
But so he comes in and he doesn't really seem to be fazed by what has happened. You know, Vivian is very blunt that she's going to be straightforward, and not just their legal obligation to admit what's happened in the past 3 years, but to admit it all.
He can see young Moira.
Right. Young Moira presents herself to him as young Moira because she sees an opportunity for herself mm-hmm. to be dug up. She wants that gazebo down. She
right.
wants the
swimming
pool because once her bones are found, she can take them and leave and never be in this wretched house again.
Right.
So Moira thinks she has found her salvation, found her
escape.
And we come to find out that he has no plans to actually live in this house, but rather just
tear
it all down as it's revealed to Constance, and Constance is sent into a tailspin because, as we've seen,
her kids are going to die.
Right. Constance has used this house as a way of everlasting life
right.
for her family. She has latched on the opportunity of the evilness that exists to ensure that her children are never away from her.
Constance is alive, though.
Constance
is
alive.
Living.
She's going to die eventually. She doesn't look like a spring chicken, okay?
No, Constance is not in her prime, and she will die. But what's interesting to me is that we've never met her husband, except for in a flashback, and he died on the premises.
Right.
Oh, yeah, like, where is he hiding out?
He did.
He died
and
on the premises. Where is he?
We never spoke about it in the show, but I did, in researching stuff, I did see that there's some talk that they do want to bring Eric Close, the actor who played him, back. So we will see him again.
Okay.
As we've been, they've said out there in some statements.
In the
because it would be completely incongruent to just have him never come back.
Right.
He's obviously in the house somewhere.
Right. And for
the
them to have used such a sort of a TV name actor. I mean, he's not just some random that
right.
they could have used for that scene. They used somebody who is sort of a
recognizable,
big name,
yes.
Right, to the point where you'd want that character to come back. Mm-hmm. They should have more than one scene. So I do think that we will see Eric Close come back and see more about his life with Constance, although that would be very hard because I was reading that scene to make Constance look that young cost them $150,000 to do
yeah.
the FX work.
I didn't even think she looked much younger.
No, she looked amazing.
Like, wait, then I need to go back and rewatch
you
it.
You do.
It cost them a lot of money to do that.
Was it digital effects or was it makeup effects?
It was like the people who did Benjamin Button.
Oh my
it was
God.
Done digitally.
Oh my God, I wonder if Jessica Lange was like, can I stay like this forever?
But so he is supposed to be coming back. But so we find out that he's going to tear it down. Constance is freaking out because
yeah.
it's...
He tears it down, her kids die.
Well, she doesn't know what will happen.
Well, it's... You know, it stands to believe that even if he
tears it down,
teared
they'll
it
be
down,
there, but
they'll
be still in
something
be else that she won't have the ability to control. If it's,
right.
if it's apartments, there's so many variables for her to get her hands near that she can't. Now it's only one family. She can always have this contact.
Right.
But if there's, like, you know, 75
multiple
apartments
tenants.
Built on top of it, what is she going to do? Who knows what will happen?
Right.
Right.
And it could
scary
reveal
thought.
It to more people, and she doesn't want that many people knowing that this exists.
Right.
So she reveals that to Moira, and she and Moira are finally on the same team for the first time, I think,
ever,
since they've known each other, living or dead. They have the same goal, that this house cannot be torn down.
A lot of fellatio in this episode.
Yeah.
So
Moira
much.
Did what she had to do to get what she wanted.
Yeah.
Both times.
So, you know, in typical Constance fashion, took the plunge, the most, I don't even know, like, she killed him.
Yeah.
That did not need to happen. There were probably other ways around it.
Well, did you notice also that
chase.
when Larry was suffocating him,
uh-huh.
old Moira appeared?
Right. She's not
when
young
he,
Moira
when
Larry.
Larry was,
no,
oh,
no,
yeah.
no. But the Eskandarian, the guy who was the prospective buyer
murdered, uh-huh.
being murdered, he saw old Moira because you saw it through the plastic bag.
Oh, I didn't even notice that.
I didn't
mm-hmm.
either.
She switched to old
Moira. Well, I guess
Moira.
She didn't need to be young anymore.
No.
I want to know the rules dying. For transitioning between old and new.
I think we discussed it.
Only men can see her.
She reveals it to who she wants to.
Exactly. But also we talked about this a while back. And.
But you're in the same room.
Right.
She's in the same room with multiple people. Vivian and the realtor didn't see young Moira, only the Escondarian or whatever his name
was. Right, because we discussed this a while back, and I think Alexandra Breckenridge what's her name?
Frances
Conroy talked about how young Moira appears to only to men.
That she wants something from?
No, because she's like a...
Or she uses her sexuality.
That's how men see her.
Yeah.
And women see...
It's her revenge. They said it was sort of her revenge because the way she died was because some man took advantage of her. And so while she's stuck here, this is her revenge on men because she blames men for what happened to her.
Got it. Okay.
Sort of thing. So that's why they're revealed as that.
Weird.
But what's also interesting and was funny that Constance wanted the body off the property before he finally died because she didn't want to have to deal with him ever again.
Right, she didn't want him living forever.
Right, so she had Larry just get rid of him.
That's so funny. Yeah, you got to keep the number of prospects down. Yeah.
But I also, it was just like such a weird and funny thing. And that first scene when young Moira performs the fellatio.
Yes.
And then we see the old Moira walking out and she's like wiping her mouth.
I know, it's so creepy.
In the first episode when Violet sees the old Moira on top of Ben. I just love those like weird moments when it's just so you realize how creepy the situation.
As an actress, really like, is. Do you think Frances Conroy thought at this age she would still be doing scenes like that?
No, but I bet you she loves it.
I bet you she does too.
I bet you she digs it.
Yeah,
I think it's probably an actor's dream.
To do it,
yes,
still
to
be
do
like not just a grandma or something.
Right, she's playing something completely opposite.
Right,
amazing.
Like in theory, she's a sex object.
Right. Yeah, in theory, she's a hot. How old is what's her name supposed to be? Alexandra Breckenridge? Isn't she 20?
I would imagine like mid-20s.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So yeah, that's really fun.
But it is so weird, and we've talked about this before. You know, young Moira died in the 80s, and there's such a wide gap between mm-hmm. young Moira and old Moira in age that I don't understand how...
How she's aged so much.
Why she appears that old, unless that's also something she uses to get her way, because it's easier for her to appear as sort of the spinsterly old woman to get people to want to employ her.
More sympathy.
Woman.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, because there's no way that someone would have aged that.
If you were 25 in what year? 1985?
It was 85 or 86.
Okay, so if you were 25
in
85,
50, no.
35 in 95, 45 in 2005, you'd be 50.
Yeah.
Frances Conroy looks older than that.
And she is. I can no knock on Frances Conroy, but she is. Yeah.
And so they play that up.
Yeah.
They don't try to make her look like a spring chicken. But
right.
Okay.
Definitely. All right. I want to talk about what we learned about Dr. Montgomery and Nora that we learned through the murder house tour that was finally completed. We saw exactly what Dr. Montgomery did. I mean, we knew.
We knew, but I didn't know that he was able to actually bring the baby back
to
life.
Mm-hmm. Right. And he did. He was able to reanimate. He was truly a Dr. Frankenstein.
He's a very elegant doctor.
He is.
He's capable of these things.
I would have loved to have seen, though, how he managed to do that.
I mean, he sort of explained that he put a beating heart in.
But that still doesn't make any sense.
I mean, obviously, no. It makes no sense. A heart would not beat
if
it was cut.
Yeah, realistically, that's not going to happen.
And it's an adult heart, not a baby heart.
Right. When it wouldn't even fit.
But there were so many different parts. Obviously, it wasn't just the baby's parts anymore.
Right.
Because the baby was big already. And so...
Please call him Thaddeus.
Thaddeus. Thaddeus was
Thank
big
you.
Already. So Nora is... I couldn't tell if she was immediately repulsed or in her sort of haze, she was sort of overjoyed, but kind of...
I thought she was, like,
weird
disgusted
reaction.
By it and, like, horrified. But then... Apparently she tried to feed it.
She tried to nurse it. It was like, I
was so confused. And then, like, I guess the baby, like, bit her boob off.
It did something.
And then she tried to kill it with a...
Well, it wanted to feed blood. Because she said that it seemed like it didn't want my milk. It wanted something else. Mm-hmm. It wanted blood. So there seems to be this... It's a Frankenstein monster, but is there, like, a vampirism within it? Or is it just this animal hunger for...
I mean, who the hell knows? I mean, we've seen that. We saw a still of this baby thanks to
to our fan Scott, who emailed us
this
week.
Yes, thank you so
much.
Which,
by the way, I didn't see. It wouldn't show up in my email.
It is the most frightening thing I've ever seen
really
in my entire life.
Let me try to pull it up.
But it
wouldn't work on my phone, but I saw it on my computer.
Okay, I can try to see it on my phone.
Pointy teeth.
It was creepy. I don't know how Scott, if you're watching or listening.
I told him to call in.
That still that you caught was amazing.
It literally scared me shitless.
It's so creepy.
It is like the creepiest thing I've ever seen in my entire life.
So this thing is creep.
Yeah, and it has like pointy, sharp teeth. So it's very possible that there's like some sort of weird vampire aspect to
it. And so after this experience, Nora goes down and she pretends that she's happy with what Charles has done and hugs him. And as she hugs him, she kills him and then kills herself because she just can't handle what has happened in this house.
Now, what I'm curious about is if that baby died.
Well, it didn't. It's still in the basement.
But is it alive? No, it was lower than that. It's under here.
Oh! Whoa! Hold on. We need to show this to the camera. So wait, who is this supposed to be?
That's Thaddeus. Here, I'm going to bring it up.
Well, can you guys get it on the pad? For a bigger
picture? Where is it?
The pad is on the couch.
Oh. No, because it's on my email. Sorry.
Is this good?
Back it up a little bit.
I'm trying to see here. Hold on.
You just got to keep it still so...
So it can focus.
There we go. Oh, my goodness.
That is Thaddeus.
Alien demon baby. And wait, and shout out to Scott.
It was Scott.
Scott who sent it in. Thank you for sharing that with us.
Incredible, like, finger work with your remote to catch that.
That
like
takes skill.
The master from Buffy the Vampire
Slayer. What did you say?
It looks like the master from Buffy.
It does, right?
So
scary.
I don't know if it died or if it is still an actual living
like
thing.
Like living
that has
thing
continued
in
to
the
age
basement.
And grow in the basement.
Do you think
that's possible?
It's going to manifest itself in Vivian's womb?
Oh my God.
What if that was a rubber band?
God.
What? That's what
that
I want.
That is frightening. Maybe that's why the. You stole my pen.
I know, I like to doodle. All
right.
maybe that's what. The ultrasound technician saw, and that's why she got frightened.
Yeah,
because
she saw Thaddeus.
I would be frightened for my life.
Right?
That would be scary.
If that was trying to claw its way through my body.
I know she was dreaming in that scene where she was putting lotion on her stomach, and then you saw
the little
handprint.
Uh-huh.
Those are Thaddeus's hands.
No, they're not.
Yes, they are.
Stop it. I'm so scared.
Watch me be right. We need to start a tally.
You're wrong. I'm right.
No. I've been wrong about everything on Pretty Little Liars.
But I've been right about everything on this show.
He has.
So you called that Tate was Jessica Lange's kid?
On the first episode.
Okay, so you get 1 point for that.
And something else.
I don't remember.
I don't.
All right, let's jump to commercial really quickly, and we will be right back.
Yeah! Oh, not a commercial.
Buzz TV. Hi. I was once like you. A lazy, angry loner whose only joy was watching TV and surfing the net. And, like you, after I'd see one of my favorite TV shows, I'd be so excited and have so many questions that I'd actually have to talk to my douchebag coworkers about it at the water cooler. Then I discovered AfterBuzzTV.com. AfterBuzzTV produces after-show webcasts and podcasts for TV series of all kinds, like post-game wrap-up shows for all your favorite TV shows. AfterBuzzTV hosts are industry insiders who break down episodes of shows, take calls from fans, and interview cast and crew from each series, with over 60 different after-shows, from Boardwalk Empire to American Idol to Vampire Diaries to Real Housewives. And more. Now, after a night of TV, I can ignore my stupid coworkers, who I hate, and go straight to my desk and watch or listen to all my favorite AfterBuzz TV after shows and have all the TV fan interaction I need. Thank you, AfterBuzz TV.
AfterBuzz TV. What do you want to buzz about?
Oh, what an amazing new commercial.
All right, so we're going to really quickly jump into our special segment. We've been doing this every week where we bring to you a recommendation for a film. We're calling it our American Horror Story Film Night.
Yeah!
To continue the themes that you've seen this week. Now, this week
and
was
if you
not,
have nothing better to do with
right,
your life.
Right, if you're like us and you're at home on weekends and just want to watch more TV and movies.
Yeah.
Because why wouldn't you? Why would you have a social life?
Right. So this week was not all that scary. It was a little hard to find a movie that really thematically was prevalent, but the one that I thought of, what jumped into my mind the most, was Beetlejuice, which I know is a stretch. It's not really a horror film. I mean, it's It's got gothic elements.
It can be if
but
you're like a younger person.
But it's much more comedic. It's scary for the little kids, but I think
I remember being frightened by
it. Yeah, when I watched
it
as a little, it was creepy. The sandworm scared the crap out of me.
Yes.
And the circus head.
Yeah. But so 1988, Tim Burton, Michael Keaton, Winona Ryder, Alec Baldwin, Gina Davis, Catherine O'Hara, like... All-star
Alec Baldwin,
cast.
like at his prime.
Right there.
Yeah.
And I recently went to. Did either of you go to the Tim Burton exhibit at LACBA?
I didn't get to before I left.
Missed it.
You went, Jess? I thought it was phenomenal.
Amazing.
I got to see. I got to see the book from the
which was equally as amazing.
Which was amazing.
Oh,
incredible.
Yeah. I was going to buy it, but it was like $100.
Yeah.
So I didn't buy it. But nonetheless, the exhibit was incredible. They had all this memorabilia, original production notes. Tim Burton literally scribbling on a piece of paper like, oh, this is what I want Beetlejuice to look like, or this is what I want this to be like. It was amazing.
Awesome.
Buy the book online.
But the reason, what sticks out to me about Beetlejuice and what made me jump to it when I was watching last night was, you know, the whole theme of Beetlejuice is Gina Davis and Alec Baldwin are this couple who die. They don't die in their house. It's not as similar to this, but they die on this bridge in their town. And they don't realize they're dead. They think that they just survived the car accident over the bridge and they go home. They don't realize why no one can see them anymore. And eventually another family starts moving into their house. And there's this battle between the dead inhabitants and the living. Mm-hmm. And the dead inhabitants use Beetlejuice as a way to get these people out of their house. He's considered a bio-exterminator is his name.
Yeah.
I was looking that up. And that was funny.
That's what he was called in the movie?
That's what, that's what he calls himself, a bio-exterminator.
Oh, God.
And so their daughter, played by Winona Ryder, of the living couple who move in, Catherine O'Hara and the other man who I don't know his name. He wasn't very famous.
He was.
Jeffrey Jones is his name.
I think in the '80s he was.
He's like a comedian.
Yeah.
And Winona Ryder is their sort of gothic daughter who moves in very much like Violet. She does not really get her parents. She doesn't really fit in with them. And it's much more comic booky and much more over the top in Beetlejuice than it is in American Horror Story. But just the same, she's this sort of displaced
youth. A lot of similarities.
Right. And she begins to be the window to the outside world. She begins to see them through Beetlejuice, and she is able to see the ghosts and communicate with them. And she essentially is able to actually brokerage peace in this film.
Mm-hmm.
And then they all just sing Deo and float in the sky in their house, which is the best closing scene in any movie.
Deo! Mr. Deo!
But I just couldn't help but... draw on that.
No, yeah, I mean, there's a lot of similarities between Winona Ryder's character and Tessa Farmiga's character in American Horror Story in the whole... communicating with the dead. I mean, I think that
there was even a medium on last week's episode.
Right.
Yeah. The major difference, though, is that Winona Ryder's character is more interested and willing to want to communicate with them, and Violet on this show is a little bit frightened of them.
Exactly. Exactly. But it's a great film.
But still, like, movie genius.
Anything Tim Burton touches, I bleed for.
It's a classic movie. It's really Tim Burton at his best.
Yeah, it really is.
Michael Keaton at his best. I don't think Michael
Alec
Keaton's
Baldwin
ever
at
done.
His best.
Yeah, it's a great movie. So I can't imagine you haven't seen it, but if you haven't or want to watch it again, this weekend would be a great time.
I'm due for another view.
I haven't seen it in a while. We should have a party.
We should.
All right, let's jump into news and gossip real fast.
You won't cuddle with
me. AfterBuzz TV News.
All right, so we got another Ryan Murphy and Entertainment Weekly exclusive.
Does he just talk to Entertainment Weekly every week?
Every week.
Yeah. They run a column on this?
Yeah.
Okay.
So why hasn't Constance ever gone to jail for being the worst mother ever?
That's a nice question.
Yeah. Ryan said, it's funny you should ask. 2 episodes from now, we do a whole episode where Constance is called on the carpet for all of her crimes. All of them. And the question is, how does she get out of it, or does she?
I don't think she does. That woman.
Well, no, she has to, because she got away with Moira's murder. She got away with killing her own child. I mean,
so
God knows what else.
Oh, sorry. She does get out of it. I agree. Yeah. I think she gets out of everything that she does.
Completely.
Sorry. Yeah.
She's such a charmer.
So I love Marcy the Realtor, who's Christine Estabrook from Desperate Housewives. Ryan said, I'm obsessed with Marcy. I love her. I love her. Every episode, we're like, we're going to kill Marcy this episode. This is the episode. We get to writing her,
and she's just too hilarious to kill. I think she's been a great source of levity, and she's a terrible person. She's a racist, a homophobe, the worst realtor in the world. She's that incompetent bumbler. I like to imitate her in the writing room.
I would love to see Ryan Murphy, like, imitating this woman in the writer's room.
Right.
His voice, if you've ever heard him, like, talk, he has this, like, the strangest, drollest voice.
Yeah. What was the racist comment that she made? Something about homosexual?
Persians and stuff like that.
Well, there's a lot this week.
There's a lot of this week.
She said something about the previous homos, I mean homeowners.
Right. That was what it was.
Eskandarian, and then she also said that there's plenty of minority men in this neighborhood who would love to throw me over the island and have their way with me, that explaining why she kept a gun.
Yeah, on her.
Oh my god, that's right.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
Do you think she knows Larry? Marcy?
Is Marcy dead?
That's the thing I wonder. That's the how other much question. There is that Marcy knows. We've talked about this a lot. Is how in tune with what's going on here is Marcy, or is she just this idiot who has no idea?
She said when they were on the murder tour, she said to Vivian, "We'll conveniently leave that part out." So I feel like she does know some things. Well, I mean, she is the worst realtor ever. You need to disclose all that information. But
also,
I don't know. She might be
very smart to like have done her research on the house.
Yeah. She could just be an idiot.
Yeah, it's very possible.
We need to Google or YouTube Ryan Murphy doing Marcy impression.
I wish
that'd be amazing.
Film that.
So Ben finds out Larry didn't kill his family. Why would Larry tell Ben that originally? Well, I think he's a very slimy character, first of all. What he says about the house is true, but also he's been trying to manipulate Ben into leaving so he can get the house back. The thing that's interesting is people who watch the episode will think, oh, he got burns by going into the bedroom to save his wife and kids. That's not accurate either. We have an upcoming episode where we will see how he really got them.
I thought that. I just don't understand why he wants to get back into that house.
Because he wants Constance back.
I know, but clearly she's already told him that she wants nothing to do with him. And she's like, I've seen you lurking around. You've seen my new beau. Isn't he gorgeous?
Men are relentless creatures.
They don't take no for an answer. Burnt in the... Because he was really intrigued with the fireplace.
Yes, there's something with him in the fireplace. And there was also, in the very first preview for this show ever, it showed a man walking into the fireplace.
Oh, okay. So
the very first one. So there's something with him. Something happened to him in that fireplace.
He saw something in the fire.
Yeah. And then Ben being drawn to the fireplace, too. Something happened in that fireplace that we're going to see. But I think maybe if he thinks that if he dies there, he can come back not as deformed as he is now.
Right,
if that's also in his head. If it will, like, replenish him in some way, I think could be a driving factor for him, too. Because we don't know the rules on that. On how
we don't, and Tate didn't look different.
Because obviously the people who die don't have the wounds on them when they from when they've died.
And
so.
Tate, except for Nora.
Except for Moira. And Moira, too, she has the eye.
And the
eye. But Tate doesn't have, like, 7 bullet holes in him.
Right,
so.
But Tate also, his face looked different when he was alive. He had, like, cut marks all over his face.
So
he looks normal, though.
Right, that's
now,
what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Now,
he got fixed somehow. Because he had scars, and he doesn't anymore.
Maybe the doctor plastic surgeon him up
to the ghosts.
So Entertainment Weekly loves the Infantata episode, and like Deidre, loves that his name is Thaddeus.
Yes.
But why is he bloodthirsty? Is that to keep him alive? Ryan answered, yes, I think with any sort of horror show, you get what is the myth of that creature. And the approach we took to that is it's sort of half Frankenstein, half Dracula, left by himself in the house, bloodthirsty. We've shown another episode where he's been eating possums and bugs to sustain himself.
So he definitely was still alive.
Yeah, I don't think he's
dead. And that was the possum that we saw in the first episode.
Yeah. Yeah.
So is that the noises that Vivian hears rumbling when she's just...
And maybe that's why he's so old-looking?
Yeah, he's aged from the 20s or whenever. Could be.
To now.
Terrifying.
So we've seen 3 of Constance's children. Will we see the 4th? Ryan said we've talked about that, and we've talked about who the 4th is. We, of course, know who it is, and yes, I think you probably will... But maybe that's a mystery I don't want solved.
What if Ben is Constance's child?
No, he would know that.
That would be amazing.
What?
But wasn't Ben adopted? didn't ha- there's isn't there
I'm not kidding you
that we
watch
he didn't, there was something about his
watch
childhood.
Watch Constance be his biological
oh, that
mother
would be so weird and kind of maybe too much for me. I don't know
was
and
Violet that, adopted oh no because she's no. mentioned when I was pregnant with Violet
but there was something they did talk about Ben's childhood and I don't know if he didn't know. I may be reaching because I want to for the sake of this
I
argument.
Think you are I don't remember.
There's a reason why he wants to keep it a mystery.
Yeah, if you're out there, if you're out there and you remember the story of Ben's childhood, call in 424-256-1729, or else we'll clear it up for you guys next week.
One more time, slower.
424-256-1729.
I'm going to stand by my claim.
info@afterbuzztv.com.
I hate you.
Info up on Facebook. @afterbuzztv.com.
It's Constance's baby.
All right, fine.
Okay.
I don't believe you.
She put an AfterBuzz stamp on it.
Yes.
Why does Tate hate his mother so much? Oh, you'll see. There's a whole episode that sort of resolves the Tate-Larry-Constance. How is she getting away with all this? Why did Tate do that at the school? All of that is in episode 10, I believe.
So this was episode 7?
Yep.
Yeah, three episodes.
I cannot wait to see what
right
drove him to do something as horrific as shoot up the school.
Yeah.
She obviously did something to him.
Someone did.
Someone did. But
or he's angry about something.
I just feel like all his anger stems from her. When they had that brief interaction.
Yeah.
And it seemed like, why hadn't she seen him in a while? She was like, I need to see my son.
Because they
but
didn't
I
get along.
I don't think that's the son she was going to see. The son she was going to see was Beau. And she
Got
just
it.
Ran into Tate.
No, okay. She was calling for Tate. She was walking through the hallway going, Tate,
yep.
Tate.
Does anybody know that Bo lives there, other than her?
No.
Well, Violet saw him this week.
Well, yeah, but I meant, like, Moira, because obviously if she was going there to see...
I'm sure all the ghosts are aware of the other ghosts. I have a feeling they're all aware of each other.
They would have to be, yeah.
Poor Bo and his little purple
because
ball.
Because when they all came walking back on Halloween...
it's totally red.
Whatever.
Ball. Yeah.
I hate you.
And at one point, we saw the red ball in the basement, which is confusing.
Yeah, Addie was playing with someone with the red ball.
Wasn't that the ball that the two boys,
the
twins?
No, the boys were throwing, like, those poppers, those things that you throw on the
Okay, because I was say they made a weird noise.
Yeah, no, but Addie was using the ball.
Okay.
Yeah. We saw her playing, and it rolled back after she left the basement.
Interesting that Constance had a Down syndrome child, a normal child, and I don't even know what you would call Beau.
Well, she did say when she revealed that she had four, she said only one of them came out
normal,
but he was broken inside. And the three others were, she had a cursed womb. The three others had something wrong.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
So creepy.
Yeah.
Well, next week is the Rubber Man revealed, right? Ryan said, yes, next week is great because it has several things that I'm proud of. I think it's an award-winning work from Connie Britton because she has to play Paranoia. We reveal 100% the identity of the Rubber Man. We also show people how the Rubber Man came to be. You see, where did the costume come from? Who is it? Why are they doing that? What is the Rubber Man's goal? It's also a great episode for Zach Quinto, who's amazing in it.
Okay.
Who is it?
I think it's Zachary Quinto, because they were... I know a while back I did say that I think it was the doctor in the suit, but because of the preview that we saw, I think it is Zachary Quinto in the suit. And the man who did have sex with her because they were having problems with wanting to have a child. And
but do you think they would give it away like that in the preview? Because the preview, I think, was led to make you believe
that it's
think
him.
That it would be him. But I don't know that Ryan Murphy would let them give that away. And, like, I know, your mic blew. Teacher's mic is out.
Check again. Say something.
Hello?
There you talking. Are.
Yeah.
You're back. So I don't think that they would give it away like that.
No, it's very, you know, who the hell knows?
Yeah. I don't know that they would give it away like that.
But, you know.
We'll see. All right.
I guess we'll have to wait and see.
So they next...
Okay,
so... Weekly next asks, so Rubber Man's origins involve the gay couple, and Ryan replied, yes, in an interesting way, absolutely yes. Rubber Man is, I think, by far my favorite episode. I think it's very psychological, and I think one of the things about the house is that it's always conspired to help people or drive them crazy. In the next episode, it kind of does both. Suffice to say, there are several characters in the next episode who want a baby and will do anything to get it.
Right. So, I mean, it does stand to make you want to believe that the Rubber Man is Zachary Quinto's character, who is Chad. I think.
Yes.
But also...
I don't know that they would give it away like that in a,
I mean,
in a preview.
I don't either, and, I mean, maybe this is not, like, the best argument, but if he's gay, why would he have sex with...
Because he wants a baby.
He wants a baby. That was the
whole
thing.
There are easier ways to have a baby.
Not when you're dead.
Dead people can't go to an adoption agency?
They don't have, like, the dead adoption agency.
Oh,
right.
They don't?
Okay. I mean, then I guess maybe I'll stand behind my original prediction of...
The doctor.
The doctor.
Who keeps popping?
Who keeps popping? I think it's Jesse.
What if it's Violet?
Are you popping?
Popping what? Oh, yeah.
What if it's Violet?
What if it's Violet?
Someone penetrated her. It's not. It's a man.
You know, I like the obscure, out of nowhere, abstract predictions. No, but honestly, who else could it?
That's why yours don't make sense in mine.
I think it could be the doctor because he wants
to repair his relationship.
And he wants to give Nora a baby because Nora, we saw her reaching for that stomach. I believe that too. That it's that original ghost couple.
Yeah,
who want a kid.
That one makes the most sense to me.
I mean, Chad makes sense. And if they hadn't given it away in that, I would totally believe that it is Chad.
Right, but we just don't think they would.
I can't believe that they would blow that shock.
Right, and I thought we already knew that the origins of the rubber suit came from the gay couple.
Because he bought it. He said he bought that as like a way to... And when we saw them kill them, he was like, oh, you bought that? Yeah. So that was the first time it had been there, as we'd known. So we'll see.
We'll see.
That's an interesting way of spicing things up.
Yeah.
Hey.
Do they not have massage oils and other mechanisms?
It was beyond
that
for a sex addict like Patrick.
Apparently.
Yes.
All right, he's a sex addict.
All right, last question.
No, there's two more.
All right, guys, have you shot the finale yet? He said, yes, we're shooting it as we speak. Do you feel good about it? Yes, I'm very proud of it. I think it's very satisfying and also deeply unsettling. It's both terrifyingly bleak and oddly uplifting. I think when people see it, it will be clear what the second season will be about. I hope so anyway.
Oh, interesting.
That is so ambiguous.
Very.
Well, yeah, I mean, you don't want to give away anything too far in advance. I mean, we're only halfway through the first season as it is.
Yeah, it's probably mine.
Something's wrong over there. All right, so let's jump into predictions.
Okay.
Thaddeus took over my microphone.
Predictions.
When do I ever get to say it?
Never. I always get to
say it. I don't enjoy anything about you.
All right, so as we saw at the very end of this episode, when Vivian and Violet were looking at the old photos, Vivian is now also aware that she... Not that maybe she's met a ghost, but something has happened to her.
Because
she sees this photo of Nora, and she instantly recognizes her as that woman who came to see the house. Mm-hmm. And that's the last thing we're left with in this episode.
I think she's definitely realizing that things are going on in this house that she didn't realize before. And clearly in the next episode, she is having sort of like a psychotic breakdown.
Right.
Things ain't kosher.
Yeah.
I think
and as we saw that Ryan said that we're going to see her play through some paranoia.
Right.
I think that's going to be really exciting to see because, I mean, it would. You would start to feel like you're losing your mind.
I was just going to say, I can't say I blame her.
Right.
If that stuff was going on inside my house, you want me to share with you?
No.
Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, you're fine.
If that was going on in my house, I would question my sanity as well.
Of course.
I totally wouldn't.
You want baby Thaddeus lurking around your hallways?
I have baby Thaddeus lurking around.
It would be kind of fun, though, to have somebody like Tate running around my house. Just like, oh, this hot guy that I love just popping up in and out of nowhere.
And killing people with axes for you.
Yes, I think that's romantic.
And demon babies.
I loved, Sydney DeBaer and I are a sucker for a good alien demon fetus baby.
I know.
I would just leave. I wouldn't be excited about any of it.
Do we think her paranoia is going to, like, push her off the edge to some extent? Or do you think she's going to get over it and, like, learn the truth?
No, I think it's definitely going to be something that's going to haunt her now. Until at least the season is over. It's going to be something that's on her mind. She's already seen one
ghost.
And ghost,
if she ever
she
sees
thinks.
A picture of Zachary Quinto's character, she'll be aware that she's seen two.
Yeah. And interacted with three.
Right. Because we know that not only is Zach and Patrick, Teddy Sears, who plays Patrick, they're both coming back next week, but as we learned in that scoop, that there is this lesbian friend of his who's coming into the picture, and I can see that woman being somebody who's alive who spills the beans to Vivian that this person shows her a picture of Chad, and then Vivian starts seeing more dead people, realizing she's seen more, which furthers her into her paranoia and her insanity next week. Because I don't know why that woman, we'd see her in past tense and for that to have been a big deal to announce in casting.
Right. Also, we do see in this episode that the doctor told her that she should probably stay home, that every time she leaves the house,
something happens
and she doesn't feel right.
So I wonder if somebody's gotten to the doctor.
It's very possible, or maybe the doctor's in on it.
If Constance knows the doctor somehow, because Constance really is the only one who could, because no one else can leave.
Right.
But
so if she is then told that she has to be bedridden for the duration of her pregnancy,
her paranoia would go even crazier because she can't get away.
Because she can't get out.
Here's a thought. Do you think this baby is going to start some sort of a new storyline where we see what happens if you're born on the property?
Oh, that's very interesting.
Oh.
As opposed to dying on the property.
Oh, yeah.
Because if she's so sick every time she leaves her house, what if she does one of those natural water births, like in her bathtub or whatever?
Yeah.
And the baby's born on
the... Because anyone we've seen this had...
A child on the property?
On the property, or even while they're living there. They've all come to it with children and not been able to have children while they were there.
I mean, I don't know anybody in real life who's had a child on their property. Most people go to the hospital.
I do.
You know somebody who's had a baby in their house?
Mm-hmm, several.
Like a midwife?
Mm-hmm.
All right.
It's a growing trend, too. A lot of people think it's safer than going to the hospital.
I think Katie Holmes had a natural birth for Surrey.
Well, that's because it wasn't her kid. No, I'm kidding.
But no, I think it would be interesting to see what happens if you're brought into this world in the house.
Well, and it also, the larger question is just what is she bringing into the world in
exactly.
this house?
I think that is the bigger question.
And if what I was thinking of when you were talking about how it could be possible that she has more than one thing, if they're twins but they're separate, what if one represents like pure evil but her child with Ben is like the savior of this house that was growing in the womb with the evil? That could be like a totally... Probably
Cain
like
Mabel.
There's like 1.0 or 0.00.
You know, so many things go on 2%. Crazily in this house to begin with that I wouldn't put it past the writers, to come up with something like that.
So it could be.
It's not that hard to sell a house. Like,
it is hard to sell a house that has a history like this.
Whatever. There's desperate people born every minute. They keep mentioning
in this economy.
Every buyer keeps saying, I love this home. I'm getting 4 times the space for a quarter of the price.
Right.
There's
right.
a sucker
but then
born
you
every
find...
minute. They could have gotten rid of the house.
But then you get suffocated in the basement.
Right. And then you die.
But you died on the property, so you'd still be around.
Well, and don't you also think that like there's... crazy collectors out there who like are really into freaky stuff. Like, that's the first thing that came in my mind.
Well, yeah,
especially
I mean,
here in
we
Hollywood.
Did see that in the house in the home invasion episode that there's people that are psychos and
who
want to live in
but
a
whether
place
they
like
have
that.
Money
I mean,
to buy
like,
a house. Is...
Why else would like Charles Manson's like house sell? Like OJ Simpson's? Like, people are weird. We
right, and
that.
Like we saw when they were on the tour, the realtor, when they went past the apartments that Nicole Brown or the condo that she was killed in front of, she said, oh, that gives me hope. People will buy anything.
Right.
So, yeah, I mean, I do think that they will find a legitimate buyer if they really want to leave, but I wonder if they'll ever really want to leave.
Right.
If they get to the point where they want to actually stay.
Also, that would lead to the demise of, I think, this show if they ever left the house.
Can we pool our money and make an offer?
Sure.
You know what I read,
it
actually?
It does exist. My friend found it and took a photo in front of it.
What I read online
is
that...
I don't know. I haven't asked
I believe it's in Hancock Park. The
makes sense.
Original... Okay, sorry. The pilot was shot on location, but then for the remaining episodes,
their own set
is set. They built an exact replica.
Usually, that's how.
Which
it works.
Is pretty incredible, because
that is.
Well,
it doesn't look
outside.
Like a set. It looks like a home that they shoot.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't look like it's like on the Warner Brothers lot or. Do you know where they filmed this?
I don't know which lot they filmed it.
Maybe on the Fox lot, I would assume.
Perhaps
it would make more sense that they would build a replica of it than film on.
Yeah.
On
yeah,
location every week because
you
have to keep paying. But usually most pilots film on location because they're not going to build a set for a pilot.
Right.
Okay, well, Saturday, little trip over to Hancock Park never hurt anyone. Let's take a picture outside.
We'll bring video evidence.
Yeah,
video
cast
or
photo.
Photo evidence.
We'll
we need to bring
night.
A flip cam to see if we see like little specters flying.
We
in
have
the
to
back.
Go at night, though.
We do. All right, well, we're going to end this here. Thank you guys for tuning in. Please email us if you have any thoughts and ideas about what is going on. We love to hear from you guys.
Please subscribe on iTunes. That really
excites
us.
And find
us
on Twitter. Real quick, you guys go ahead and give out your Twitter handle so our fans.
You can find me at you, the letter U, can call me Skiff, SKIFF.
Most difficult Twitter handle of all
time. It's so easy. You can call me Skiff.
And then I'm at, her name is Deidre, DEIDRE.
And I'm at Billy Nellis _ duh.
And don't worry, because we are on top of getting the cast of American Horror Story in this studio.
We are. And we're trying as we speak.
Next week, we will be going up on Wednesday night.
On Wednesday, instead of Thanksgiving. So we'll see you the night this show airs. All right, guys. We'll see you next week.
Bye. Good
night.
From producers Kevin Undergaro and Phil Svitek, engineer DJ Jesse Janity, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. If you have questions or comments, be sure to buzz us at info@AfterBuzzTV.com. And you can find us on Facebook or follow us on Twitter by searching for AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later,
Moira.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.